Hello, wonderful listeners of InBed. This particular show is something that will probably blow most of your minds. Paul got in touch with me through the DrSueReview.com in a series of comments that he left about the pussy-free white boy lifestyle. The nuggets of information that he dropped in those comments led me to ask him if he would be willing to share his story. Paul was willing, and hoping his story may prove to be a warning to anyone who is thinking of dabbling in or outright serving black cock or anyone in the Black New World Order. His story begins with a heartbreakingly cruel childhood, and it isn't long before the violence that surrounded him followed him for the rest of his life. As most of my listeners will be well aware of, I've been diving down the pussy-free rabbit hole trying to see into the psychology of why more and more white men are not only walking away from traditional heterosexual sex, but are further pursuing a life of slavery to a black owner, voluntarily and eagerly. And Paul's story helps us peer into that mindset. I appreciate Paul telling you his story despite the fact that most of you will probably just use this as jerk-off material. Which, to be fair, if that's what you use this for and you don't go any further, perhaps our warning will be heeded in a roundabout way. There are many things in this life that are best left in fantasy. And this type of lifestyle could very well be one of them. Without further ado, this is Paul's story. I'm about to bring you the telling of a personal story that depicts sexual violence towards children, references to bestiality, rape, torture, and sexually explicit language that some of you may find upsetting. If you are a survivor of childhood trauma, you may find this story triggering. Listener discretion is very much advised. First of all, before we get going, I want to thank you, Paul, for sharing your story, because I know this isn't an easy story to tell. So thank you very much for sharing this with my listeners.
Sure.
Let's start from the beginning. Let's start back into your childhood, because I think it's pertinent. I don't want to open up trauma wounds or anything. So if there's anything that you really don't want to discuss, definitely don't discuss it. But I think because we're trying to understand the psychology behind what's happening with white men, there's just so many levels that it could be dissected at. Let's try going from your childhood up, because maybe that has a little bit of a window into why you guys like doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what happened as a child? Because you've already somewhat informed me.
Yeah. I started when I was 5. I started giving head while I was molested.
I was going to say, let's back that up. You did not just start giving head at 5 years old. You wouldn't have known what that was. Right. So I don't want, even though you have normalized this for yourself and said, you said point blank, I was a naughty boy. I'm going to preface that. Okay. I don't think you were a naughty boy. I think you were turned into one, because I don't think it's fair for you to take your abuse on as it being something you did, because you didn't. You didn't ask for that.
True.
So let's be clear on that. You were molested.
Yes.
That was taken from you. You did not give that.
Right.
And you are, in fact, not a naughty boy. Now, you sexualized it.
Yeah.
We're not gonna say you didn't sexualize it, but that was probably more of a coping mechanism. So what happened?
The kid that I lived next door to, he was probably, he had to be 12 or up, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 12. He started doing things with me, making me play with him and making me, give him head.
So he was already well aware of sex and everything, and he was the one that was leading you down the path.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was it just head that you were giving him?
At first, yes. Yeah.
And then it got worse?
Yeah. Well, then on top of that, so I was probably 6 or seven, the guy across the street from where I lived, he started molesting me too.
My God.
He was an older guy, and he was up there. He was gray, so he was probably in his 60s, 50s, 60s, and that got real serious. Like,
do you think that he knew what was going on with the kid next door?
I don't think so.
It's just odd that you had two molestations, like both on the same street.
Yeah. Well, my whole life is odd, so.
Your whole life is odd. Everybody's life is odd, darling. Don't even worry about that. Okay. So, now you're six. Has the kid moved on, or are you just doing the adult?
I was both of them. Okay. The kid next door would get me whenever he wanted. The guy would have me come over a couple times a week. But the actual guy across the street used to, I'd go over there and...
Like, how did he lure you over? He's an older guy. You're just a kid. Well, what did he do? Well, did he pull the candy routine?
No. It was on the railroad tracks. Was across the street from my house. And I used to go back there and actually play with myself. And there was like an old door. It looked like it didn't work. You know, one of them kind of doors. And one day it opened and he got me.
An old door by a train track? What do you mean? Like an old shed or something?
On the back of a building. I was behind the building.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. And it was a machine shop. And I know they worked all kinds of weird hours. I just didn't think that the door worked. So here
you have this other young lad who's obviously got you sexualized now. Now we're like, now you know it's pleasurable. Now you're going back there and you're playing with yourself and you figure you're alone and this guy pops up.
Yes. Yeah. And it went on from there. I was back in the 70s. Now I'm going back. It was different for kids back then. Kids like myself, we hardly wore any clothes. It's weird to say that, but like during the summer, I'd run around and just shorts and sneakers. I mean, but that was normal for a kid my age. And it was easy to just go back there and take my shorts off. And now I'm standing there naked. So that's what happened. And he grabbed me by my hair and pulled me in. And it started.
That had to be terrifying, though.
Yeah, it was. But I was already aware, you know, of what was about to be done. Because of what was already being done to me.
So you had a thought that, oh, this guy's pulling me in for what all guys pull you in for.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thought, yeah. But he was actually telling me that he was going to drag me across the street to my parents.
Oh, okay.
My parents, so. And I definitely didn't want that.
No, so he used the threat of exposure to your parents as his leverage.
That's exactly what he did.
Did the young lad do the same thing or no? He was just playing with you, period.
I used to hang out with his brother a lot, not so much him, the kid next door.
Right.
And when I used to sleep over there, like, that's when all that started. He used to get me while we were in bed, you know.
Oh, okay. So you'd go over for sleepovers and then the older brother would come in. Okay.
Yes. And
did you tell anyone?
No.
Because, see, you just didn't. It would never even occur to you to do that, would it?
No, because I was so ashamed of it, and I didn't think.
Well, and you don't want your parents to know. And that was what he threatened you with.
I didn't want anybody to know, so I just kept my mouth shut.
So on some level, you knew that it was wrong what was being done to you.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew it was wrong. But, one, I didn't want to tell anybody. Two, I didn't want to get myself in trouble. Three, I didn't want people knowing what I was actually doing. So it was like caught all the way around if I would have said anything.
So both of these men penetrated you. Or not men, with the boy and the guy.
Yes.
That had to be terrifying.
Yeah, and very painful.
Especially when you're with an adult.
Yeah, I remember the first time the old guy, I remember giving him head for the first time. And I can picture it like it was yesterday. And it's going back years. you know. But I
remember, that's why.
I remember the taste, what it looked like. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
The taste, the smell, everything. It's burned into your brain. Mm-hmm. How long did this man do this?
My whole childhood.
Your entire childhood?
Yep.
So, 6 on up?
Yes.
When did it stop?
When I was able to come.
It stopped when you were able to come?
Yeah. Yep.
Can you explain that?
One day he was doing me and I was touching myself and I came and I forget what he said, but he wasn't happy about it. That was the last time I seen him.
Interesting. That's an interesting pathology with him. Okay. So you have an orgasm was probably what, your first one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So your first orgasm and now you're discarded.
Yep. Just like that. It ended just like that.
So then what happened? How old would you have been around then?
I would have to say I was like 11 or 12, somewhere around in there.
So right around the start of puberty. He was upset probably because you are now heading into puberty and that's not what he wanted.
Right. He wanted a kid.
Okay. So now you're discarded. What do you do?
Well, I kept seeing the other kids. That was on a regular basis. And then I ended up going into a couple of homes.
Oh, you were taken from your home?
Yeah, well, because I wasn't a good kid.
Well, no, I would imagine you wouldn't be. You would have been acting out like crazy, right?
Yeah, I was.
It's how you deal with things. So you were removed from your home and put into foster care?
Yep.
Great. We all know how well the foster care system works. So when you were removed and put into foster care, something else happened, right?
Yep. I was actually put in with a lady. She was great. She was the best, but her husband wasn't. So I ended up doing him a few times.
Or him doing you a few times.
Yeah. And then I got placed in a couple different places after that.
Why were you removed from that home?
I'm not sure. Oh. I think they just kept bouncing the kids around. Those kids, I'm not real sure. But then it everything quieted down for a while. And
what age is this at?
Probably 13, 14, somewhere around in there. And I'm just guessing. I actually got with a girl, and she was actually a call girl.
How did you run into a call girl at 14?
I wasn't hanging out at the best places.
Were you going to school at all?
No.
Okay. So what point did you leave school?
I dropped out of grammar school.
So you didn't even bother to go like any further than, say, grade 8?
Oh, no, I didn't make it to 6th. I never even went to 6th. I think I dropped out in 5th. And then...
So you're basically just running the streets?
Yes, basically, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I ran from a foster home I was at with some other kids.
And, why did you run?
I don't even know. Because I just didn't want to be there. You know, just rebelling to do what I wanted to do. Like I said, back then it was different. It wasn't like it is in today's world.
You can see that you wanting to do things on your own terms is coming from the fact that you had so much of your life taken from you against your will.
Yes. Yeah. I forget how I actually met her. I've been trying to think where I met her at. I think I met her through one of the kids I was hanging out with. Mother was a friend of this girl's. And I think that's how I met her. I think I was like 14.
What would she be, roughly?
She was up in her 20s.
So was she a street hooker or was she an escort?
No. She was an escort. So we ended up having sex, of course. And then...
How was that for you? Because that's a pretty poignant moment after everything you've been through. You finally have sex with a woman. What is it like for you?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. But I always felt like there was something missing.
Would the older guy beat you at all? Or was it just straight up sex? Like, did he rough you up?
The old guy across the street?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so he would beat you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
He took me over his knee and spanked me, like, and then he also sold me to some other guys.
He sold you to some other guys? This is obviously well before we met the escort, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what do you mean by sold you?
Well, I went over there and Of course, he takes my clothes off first thing. Takes me into the office, and there's another guy in there. Another old guy. And he said, "You're going to do what he wants." He shut the door, and I did. I did whatever he wanted. And then when it was all over, I seen the guy hand him money. I remember seeing that.
So and then you never saw the old guy again, but you started seeing this other guy?
No, the same old guy I always seen. He worked across the street from where I lived. So
right.
I always seen him, but the other guy I didn't see again.
Oh, so it wasn't that he sold you. It's just that he sold your performance that day. So in other words, you were kind of a little tiny hooker in a way.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Which isn't fair because you're technically being trafficked. Okay. So
yeah, that happened a few times.
Okay. Okay. So that's not really being sold. I have pictures of you now being taken away by another guy.
Oh,
so no. So what he was doing was he was pimping you out.
Yes.
Okay. So now we've had sex with the escort.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had sex with her and come to find out she actually got pregnant.
Really?
I had a kid at 14 years old.
She had it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
We broke up before, like, she went her way. Well, actually, I met another friend of hers that did the same thing, and because we used to argue a lot. So I ended up leaving her for the other one. So this is a different girl that I got with. Same situation. She was way older.
So the other one took the child and left.
Basically, yeah.
Have you had contact with this child since?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's good.
And then, so I got with the other one, and actually, life was okay. Got into some drugs.
Do you think you could feel love at that point? Or what you thought was love?
No, I don't think so. I don't.
It was just good because it was something that was routine?
I think it was more fun than anything because I did a lot of things with her that I didn't do in life. You know,
like what?
She made really good money, so it was like we went on trips. You know,
how nice for you.
Yeah, we did a lot of things. So
that's
it was
good.
A lot of, yeah, it was fun. I had a good time for the time that I was with her. But then, like I said, I got into drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Coke. And I actually quit. I was 17 and I got busted, drugs on me, a lot of drugs. And then I went to, ended up going to prison.
If it was a lot, I would imagine they got you on trafficking charges.
Yeah, it was, their first plea was 15 to life.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was when the Rockefeller law was in effect.
Wow.
So they ended up giving me, I ended up topping a plea of 3 to life.
How long did you serve?
Almost 3, like two and a half, a little over 2.5.
So prison, I would imagine, would have been almost identical to everything on the outside, right?
Like, what do you mean?
Being sexually assaulted.
Oh, it's like way different in there. Yeah, they say that, if you're white and you're in prison, you're either a black man's bitch or you're paying for protection.
Right.
But if you're paying for protection, you're probably sucking some guy's dick anyway, which is true. You're just not getting, you're more safe. But yeah, I was.
Well, you would be more safe if you were owned by someone, I would imagine, because there's your protection, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I
technically the abuse keeps going.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right through the whole time in prison.
Were you owned by any black men in prison?
Yes. They put me in a pod of about, I would say about 50 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only white guy.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So the very first night, I was raped in the shower.
How cliche.
Yeah. Well, the guards are all, you know, back then the guards were all in on it. You know, they
would turn a blind eye. They wouldn't even be bothered. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't care. They didn't care. I actually ended up having to do the guards. So a couple.
Oh,
of
did
them.
You? You had to do the guards as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were the guards black or white?
Two were black. One was white. And let's see. So the very first night, it was about 6 or 7 guys. I go
so you
into
were
the
gang
shower.
Raped.
I go into the shower, and as soon as I drop my towel, they surrounded me like it was
predator and prey.
Yeah. It was scary.
That must have been really terrifying.
Yeah, that's a scary thought to be there and it be happening to you. Is you got a razor blade to your throat. So you're either going to give it up or...
or die.
Yeah, basically.
So they had shanks, they had everything ready to go.
Oh, yeah. They knew what they were going to do.
So you spent 3 years in this, call it hell.
Yeah, yes. I became my cellmate's girl. Basically, I was his girl.
And was your cellmate black or white?
Black. Right?
Yeah.
Black,
yeah. Because you were the only white guy. Yeah. Were you the only white guy the whole time you were in?
There was another white guy that came in, but I don't know what happened to him. I think he got beat up, or I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember now. That was a long time ago. I became my cellmate's bitch, and he put me in panties, and I even had to wear, like, Kool-Aid for lipstick and burnt matches, and they do your eyeshadow. Yeah, and he basically just pimped me out. You know, any guy that wanted a blowjob or to fuck me, packs of cigarettes or soups or candy bars or whatever.
Were you going to use commissary as
money?
Money, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you're going to use commissary as money. I mean, that's just stands to reason.
Yep, that's what it is. That went on the whole time I was in there. And I sucked a lot of dick. Like, a lot. Every single day.
What was worse? Sucking the dick or getting fucked? To me, I would think getting raped and fucked would be worse than just sucking dick. Did it matter?
I don't think it really mattered, because the way that they fucked your mouth is like...
Well, that was another thing. Let's discuss that. It was because it's going to be very violent. It's not what people are thinking. Oh, he sucked a dick, so he's on his knees and he's sucking a dick. No, this is violence, right?
Yes, violence. A lot of it was hate fucking.
Right.
You know, back then, like I said, it was different. And
when they were hate fucking you, what were they saying?
You know, calling, saying, you know, you cracker faggot, suck this big black dick, honky, you know, all kinds of stuff. No dick, motherfucker, you know, all kinds of shit. You know, and it doesn't help that. I mean, let's face it, most white guys don't have much of a dick. I mean,
that's very true.
It is what it is. I mean, I've had a lot of dick.
There's a difference, isn't there?
Yes. I can tell you firsthand that not all, I'm not saying all white guys are small. That's not what I'm saying.
No, they're not. I agree with you. It's just when you're looking at generalizations, generally speaking, they're not that big. Yes.
No. And if you took 10 black guys off the street, 10 white guys off the street, I can guarantee you that 9 of them, 10 white guys, are going to be little. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. And I, unfortunately, was pretty much born with nothing. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the easiest life. Some girls didn't care. Some girls acted like they didn't care. And then they ended up caring.
So you had that kind of rejection as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been with girls where just pulling my pants down is, oh, I can't do anything with you.
So the magnitude of humiliation that you have gone through, even at this point, because what age are you when you get out of jail, roughly?
Let's see, 20, I think 20 or almost 21. So, I mean, well, it was 2.5 years later. And I was 17. I just turned 18 when I got into prison. So I was, you know, I was young.
That's a lot to go through in a very small amount of time when you think about it.
Isn't it crazy?
It's insane. Okay. you can see where the humiliation started.
Oh, yeah.
Way back. Well, and then it got worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it started from day one. I mean,
right.
From the moment it all happened.
The guy across the street, he was white, right?
Yes.
The guy in the building across the street from your house. He was white.
Yes.
And the kid was white?
The kid was white. He was Italian. And I can tell you firsthand, Italians have bigger dicks than, you know. So he was big. He was big.
So as a child, you're actually taking adult dick even with him?
Yeah. Even though he wasn't an adult, his cock was. So, yeah.
So now you get out of prison. And then what do you do?
Well, I actually got with a girl, and I'm sorry. I'm back to the one girl that I was seeing.
Is this so, the one that you had the child with, or the one after that?
The one after that.
Okay.
So I didn't see the one with the child again until I heard that she passed away. Well, it was a drug overdose. I went back to the other girl. And let's see, I stayed with her for, I was on parole, so I stayed with her for a while until I was off parole, which was supposedly life. But you only got to give them a clean 3 years, maybe 2 years, 2.5 years of being in parole, and then they cut you loose. I mean, legally, I'm still on paper, but it's not active.
So you get with her when you come out. Does everything feel a little bit more normal, or did you jump back into drugs?
No, I didn't get back into drugs.
That's good.
She made enough money, but I did start doing like tricks with her. So,
were you doing that prior, or was this something new?
I didn't. So that was new. So I didn't tell anybody what happened.
Whose idea was it? Was it yours?
Yeah, I would assume it was probably both of us just talking about it. I think I remember her telling me that the guy wants a guy and a girl. He's willing to pay like this much. And I thought, oh, okay.
That's some good money. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. And then, you know, of course, you know, the guys would want to fuck me in front of her, you know, things like that. But that was good because she never talked about what we did. So that was a plus.
So how long did that go on for?
4 or 5 years. And then I was somewhere, I can't remember where now, but I was somewhere. And I actually ran into a black guy that used to fuck me in prison. I ended up going out to his truck and giving him head. He got my number and like started fucking me on a regular basis.
Now, obviously, he's not going to be paying you.
No. Right. I forget how we broke up, me and her. I'm not sure. But we just went our own ways. And then I got with another girl, but I was still servicing black men. I got with a couple different girls, but the girl thing, I just couldn't, you know, I don't know, just like I said, size-wise. And
you just didn't feel adequate? You didn't feel like you could please them, I would imagine?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I couldn't. Why bother?
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, when I was younger, I was, you know, maybe 3.5 inches.
Erect?
Yes. As I got older, I lost a couple inches of that. Now it's, you know, it's not even worth, but it's nothing, you know. There's no way to please a woman with it.
Did that upset you in any way, or it was just sort of an eventual?
I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I look at it. What am I going to do? There's no special pill. I mean, I know they show them. I've tried a lot of different things, and none of it works. So that's basically how it all began. I just got with more and more black men.
So essentially, he starts pimping you out. Now, how are you making money then? Because she's gone. You're on your own now. Yeah. You're servicing black guys.
Yeah, I owned a couple of my own businesses. I actually opened
up.
Yeah, and I actually didn't do too bad. So, like, the whole me being with black men is like a whole separate thing. My whole life, I perpetrated like I was, you know, I was always a tough guy. And I was. And I'm not saying I'm not, like.
Well, you were basically raised on the streets, so you would be.
Yes. Yeah. So as I got older, I got wiser and, you know, I became rougher around the edges. And I used to get into a lot of fights, and I was perpetrated to be this tough guy. A lot of girls wanted to be with me, but I knew for myself that there was no way I could please these girls.
So there's no point.
Right. And I didn't want to show them.
Well, because it would have taken away from your tough guy image, right?
Yes.
And that actually became sort of your armor to wear.
Exactly.
So now that almost becomes, well, that becomes the old guy saying, I'm going to tell your parents. Well, now you're like, okay, well, I can't expose what I have to these women or my whole facade is blown, right?
Yes. Yes. I had to hold up that tough guy image.
Even with all the different businesses you had and everything, no one would ever have known.
Nobody. You would never think in a million years that I am the way I am. There's no way. To see me out somewhere, walking by me in a bar on the street, no way would you ever think I was like that.
And this just kept going your entire life?
Yep.
Until you found what?
I did get with another girl. I was with her for a while, actually, and she didn't, you know, she didn't care. She acted like she didn't care, you know. In reality,
she didn't care what? That you were small, or didn't care that you were still sucking off black guys?
No, they didn't. Nobody ever knew that.
Okay. So the whole, the side piece of you servicing black men through the guy that came from prison is completely separated from your life now.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's like living two totally different lives the whole time.
And this day, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Into right now. I had other kids too. I didn't put in there, but I had other kids, you know, a while ago. Like my kids are older.
Right.
Like my son's 37 years old.
You're feeling your age. Right? It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're 37 already. Because in your mind, you're still 17. That's the thing. So how many kids did you have?
I had three girls, one boy.
Three girls, one boy. And the boy. Is the boy serving black men?
He's with a girlfriend and just had a kid. But I was told by somebody that he was caught in panties and a bra. I don't know how.
That's interesting. That is super interesting. Because when you think about it, he wasn't really raised by you, right?
No.
And yet look at how parallel that is.
With
no influence from you whatsoever.
Nope.
Not like he saw what you were doing.
Nope.
And yet now you get word that he's essentially doing the same thing.
Yes.
What did that feel like?
I thought, do what you gotta do. You know? I mean,
you didn't feel like you needed to rescue him from it?
No. I when you're like this, there's no rescuing. You don't rescue somebody from something like that. Like, I've been going to counseling and therapy for a long time now, and my perspective on things have never changed. It doesn't matter.
So what is your perspective on it? Is this something you feel that all white guys should be doing, or like, what? How do you feel about it?
I feel like all little dick white guys should be doing it. And again, so that's like the fantasy side of me talking.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's the way my fantasy side thinks. In reality, that's not how I think. I don't walk around saying to people every day, you know, black men are superior.
Well, no, because you've compartmentalized it. You can't do that because you have this other life.
Right. But on this life, I think you should bow down and you should suck that man's dick.
Why?
Because we're under them. We're beneath them. They have, they're men. They have cocks like men. We don't. Us white guys don't. We have little tiny clits, and we should be servicing these guys. We should be in panties and a bra, and we should have tits, and we should have our nuts removed. And that's how that side thinks.
So let's go. Okay, so you're with this woman, and that lasts for a while.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Is that when you had the three girls?
No, actually, one was from one girl, two were from another girl.
So when did you start visiting and going deeper? Let's put it that way. Going into more destructive behavior where this is concerned. Probably
over the last 10 years, I've started.
And are you with someone now? Or are you alone?
No, I'm alone. I'm single.
Why go deeper?
I don't know. I just get into it. I just like that side of my life.
So let's describe it. Let's discuss some of the things that you do. And let's discuss some of the places that you go and the people that you see.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, okay, let me preface this. The reason why I'm asking Paul to go to this level is because so many people do not believe that this is real, that men are not behaving this way. This doesn't go on. This is all just fantasy. You and I know that that's bullshit. We know that this is
firsthand. That there's a lot of white guys that feel the exact same way I do.
And they're all living dual lives too, aren't they? Most of them are white collar guys that are just going to work and then, you know, ending up where? Well, tell me what happens now.
They have a kind of a site you can sign up with.
A site?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called the...
So you go to this website, you sign up. What do you sign up for?
You sign up and you put in your email. And then a girl contacted me. They send you information on things that are going on.
Now, during this time, though, why would you be looking online for somewhere else to go if you're already serving? it wasn't enough anymore?
Serving.
Servicing. Well, you're already servicing black men because of the guy from prison. So you have a regular steady flow of black guys that you are servicing. Why would you need to go online and look for something else?
Well, at the time, I only had like, you know, two or three. And I was looking for like more than that. I was looking.
Okay. So what were you looking for?
To be a slave, to be a servant.
In what way?
Servicing the black race.
So you didn't want this just to be sexual. You wanted to do this on different levels?
Yeah. I got information about a party one night that they were putting on, and they were looking for a couple white slaves. I ended up calling. You want to know what happened there?
Sure. Tell us what happened, because this is the stuff that people don't believe.
Okay, so I got there and pulled up out front, and a couple black guys come out. Basically, they yanked me out of the car, stripped me naked right there.
Paul and I will be right back after this. Looking for BDSM and alt lifestyle shopping? Perhaps a gift for your queen, or maybe it's your sub's birthday. TheShamelessWitch.com has everything you need, from pussy-free white boy t-shirts to Queen of Spades earrings, and so much more. If it's NSFW, rude and offensive, it's at TheShamelessWitch.com.
How many times have you stolen her panties, slid them on, and imagined being railed like a whore? How many times have you dropped your pants and got laughed out of the bedroom? Or better yet, got laid, thought it was great, but was then ghosted by the woman who gave you that pity fuck? Face it, you're a worthless, weak, pussy-free beta bitch, but you could be so much more. I'm Miss Amelia Devine, Sissy Queen, host of the Sissy Whisperer podcast, and your only option to become more than the stereotypical short dick incel everyone already sees you as. Go to my website, AmeliaDevine.com, and you will find everything there to give you the option to stay a pathetic bitch or train to be a desired sissy slut for alphas. A sissy's pleasure only comes from giving pleasure.
To hear the rest of Paul's story, head to patreon.com/DrSue.